Turn with me to the Heidelberg Catechism and the Green Book of Confessions, Lord's Day 45. This can be found on page 51. Last time we looked at this Lord's Day, we considered question and answer 116. Why do Christians need to pray? This afternoon, we'll consider how and what Christians need to pray for. But I'd like to read the whole Lord's Day, or the questions, 116 through 118. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed Himself in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask for. Second, we must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in His majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. This is what He promised us in His Word. What did God command us to pray for? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord Himself taught us. And what is this prayer? That's question answer 119. That's the Lord's Prayer, which John just read, so we won't read that again. It is the Lord's Prayer, and we'll be looking at that in the weeks to come. Let's ask the Lord's blessing now as we listen and consider what His Word teaches. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the instruction Your Word gives. We're thankful as we consider how this is summarized in the Heidelberg Catechism, how You have raised up faithful men to lead us in prayer. But especially You've given us our Lord Jesus Christ, who was Your Son, who was the one who called us and quickens us and shows us what it means to pray. Help us to learn these lessons from Him, our Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we looked at the previous question answer 116, dealing with why we need to pray, we recognize that prayer brings life to our walk with Christ. It's vital to our soul, like blood to our organs or breath to our lungs. And we pray because of our gratitude, because we're thankful for everything that God has done for us. We also pray because of our great need. We need His grace and we need His Spirit ministering in our soul. And because God promises to give us what we stand in need of. Well, this afternoon we're going to consider the how and the what of prayer. And as we do so, there's three things that I would like us to consider. First of all, the opening question of 117. It's a profound question, and just to tease that out a little bit. Secondly, we'll consider the ABCs of prayer, and thirdly, the content, what to pray for. Well, first of all, as we begin looking at question and answer 117, before we get to the answer, I'd like us to just think about this question for a moment, because this question is a bit shocking, isn't it? How does God want us to pray? It's not just asking how does God want us to pray. It's saying how does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? The question is asking, does God listen to every prayer? And it's a shocking question. In fact, I would suggest that if you would ask most people if God listens to your prayers, they would say, yes, of course. And if you ask them why, they would say, most likely, because that's what He does. He's God. He has to listen to our prayers. Now we need to recognize that as we consider this question, it's not a question of whether He hears or not. He does hear our prayers. In fact, Scripture makes that clear. The one who has created our eyes, He sees. The one who has created our ears, He hears. But this is asking a deeper question. Does He listen? You know how it is with teenagers. They hear, but they're not always listening. Is that how it is with God? No, not necessarily the case. Because it's not that we don't get His attention, but there are some prayers that actually are repulsive to Him, that are an offense to Him. And so we need to consider this question. And not only is it a shocking question, what prayers does God listen to? It's also a difficult question. It's a difficult question because to ask this question is to suggest that God doesn't listen to every prayer. And then we have to evaluate prayer. And when we're evaluating prayer, we're on sacred ground. We're talking about people's most intimate communion and relationship with the Lord. And it's because prayer is so sacred and so special that we must look at it in light of what Scripture teaches. As Jesus alerts us, He alerts us to the persistent widow who prays continually. He reminds us that this is our privilege. That we don't have an unjust judge for a father. We have a faithful Father who knows and cares for. And so constantly come to Him. But then in this next parable that we consider in Luke 18, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, there are some things that Jesus is alerting us to. We must not think that anything can go in prayer. And leave prayer just to be this great mystery. We don't know how it works, but we just kind of hope that it does. No. Scripture gives us clear indications of how we can pray so that God listens. God's Word teaches us that it requires faith. James 1, verses 6 through 8. Teaches that when we pray for wisdom, we must believe. We must believe that God will give it. And the one who doubts will not receive anything from the Lord. It requires knowledge of God's will. 1 John 5, verse 14, that if we ask anything according to God's will, He hears. Our prayers need to be brought into conformity. They need to follow what God's will is. There are things that we can pray for that are outside of God's will that are inappropriate for Him to listen to. And it requires sincerity. There is a hypocrisy that can arise in prayer, which seeks the approval of men, which Jesus warns about in Matthew chapter 6. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues. Their prayers don't make it to heaven because their desire is simply to gain the approval of men. And when that is the case, they receive that, and their prayer is not heard with God. But the one who prays before God rather than before man receives his reward. He is listened to. And so it's not that we're inventing something when we say, well, God doesn't listen to every prayer. We're reflecting what Scripture teaches, how sacred this territory is, but it's special in the sense of what God calls us to. And the point of this question is not to leave us doubting, but to remind us. To remind us of the confidence we have as children of God, that it's not a popularity contest, it's a privilege of faith to come before God in grace. And this confidence comes as we look at the conditions of how to pray so that God listens. This is what, secondly, I call the ABCs of prayer. The ABCs of prayer, that question and answer 117 set out for us as they reflect the elementary teachings of God's Word. A, our approach. B, our baseness, our humility. C, our confidence. Approach, baseness, and confidence in prayer. What about our approach can help us be assured that God listens to our prayer? We must pray from the heart. Our prayers must never be a formality. Though it is commanded of us, we learned that last time, that it is the chief part, most important part of thankfulness that God requires of us. God commands it. And that doesn't stifle or extinguish the flame of faith. It actually ignites it. God commands us to do this, and so we must pray. We must pray with all of our hearts, of all of our hearts engaged, coming before the living and the triune God, coming before our Father who is in heaven, confident that He will listen to us as a father cares for his children. And it mustn't be a formality. Isaiah 29, verse 13 warns, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." God won't listen to us if our hearts are completely disengaged from what we are saying. We must approach the only true God. We must approach Him and Him alone. The God who has revealed Himself to us in Scripture, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God. The God who is in control of all things. The God who has created all things. The God who continues to sustain all things. Our covenant God who has secured a relationship with us in Jesus Christ. We must not pray to any other God. So be aware. Be aware with regard to the first commandment, that we shall have no other gods before Him. That this too, when the Muslims pray to their God, they're praying to a different entity. When the Jews pray to their God, though it's from the Old Testament, it's a God of their imagination. And we need to call them back to Scripture, as we do with Muslims, as we do with all mankind, as we do with our own hearts, to know the God to whom we pray. We must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed Himself in His Word. This morning we heard how we'll grow up and we'll mature as we crave His Word. This is one reason to crave His Word, to know Him, so that we can rightly pray to Him from His heart, that we can use His attributes as prompts for our hearts in prayer, that we know He is the God who is infinite, without measure, that He's the God who's eternal, that He's not bound by time, that He's the God who's all-powerful, He's almighty, and nothing is beyond what He's able to do, that He's a God of love who cares for us and looks upon us in our misery. He's a God of mercy who has compassion. This is what makes prayer holy. It's not the activity in and of itself. It's the audience that we seek. Who does your heart seek? Does it seek the true and the living God? That's why it's so sacred. What makes prayer effective? What makes prayer effective is not that it's recognized by man, but that it's addressed to the one true God. That's the A of our approach. Whom are you approaching in prayer? And this can be a real challenge for us. It can be a challenge because we know the temptation in public. Ministers are sometimes asked to pray at various occasions, and it's a great challenge. There was a great disruption in the States back just after 9/11 when Franklin Graham was asked to pray, and he concluded his prayer in the name of Jesus. And everybody was up in arms because it wasn't politically sensitive. But who is the audience we seek? And at that time in the memorials, I as a pastor was asked to pray and had to be careful. And sometimes the town councils would say, Would you offer a prayer for the community? And I had to make the stipulation, I will, provided it's to be made in the name of Jesus Christ. Because we offer Christian prayers. It's not a formality. It's not the activity. Even last night in the rugby match, there's a moment of silence out of reverence for those who are lost. But it's not the activity that makes it holy. It's the God whom we address that makes it special. And so our approach needs to reflect who our God is. And when we have that, then we can be assured God listens. He listens. So what do you say? Going on to the B, the A is our approach. The B of the ABCs of prayer is our baseness. It has to do with our sin and misery. We must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in His majestic presence. What prayer is it that God listens to as we read of the tax collector and the Pharisee? The Pharisee traces out all the good things he's done and all the evil that he's avoided. But he doesn't go home justified. The sinner who comes before God and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says, He's the one who goes home justified. He's the one who knows that God has listened to his prayer. Prayer requires humility. Jesus reminds us of this. Pride has no place in prayer. If it's to gain public acceptance, we've misused this most sacred opportunity. It's better to go into your own room and to shut the door and pray to your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And the idea is that He'll reward you openly. Prayer in the private place, with a baseness of our recognizing our sinful condition, of the humility of recognizing that this is so much beyond our control that we can't accomplish anything in and of ourselves, that we are completely dependent upon our Father, upon His work. There's nothing shameful in us acknowledging our own inabilities before a God who has all the abilities and to recognize His work. We must also acknowledge our unworthiness. We don't deserve God's attention. We only have it because of the work of Jesus Christ. And that then is our confidence. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayers because of Christ our Lord, because of what He has secured upon His cross, what He has secured in His life and in His death and in His resurrection. This is what God has promised in His Word. We need no other good news than this glorious promise that God will listen to us for the sake of Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus Himself says, whatever you ask of me in my name, I will give it to you to come before Him. And we say, oh, what great faith. The reality is it's not a great faith at all. It's a very small faith. It's a faith the size of a mustard seed that can move mountains, that can assure us and give us the confidence that in spite of all our sins, God is listening to our prayers. The certainty that we have in that is the certainty of His promise. In fact, that surety and that assurance and that confidence in His promise is one reason why sometimes God will answer the prayers differently than we expect. He does answer. He does listen. And He has promised as a Father that He won't give us stones for bread or a snake for fish. He's not out to harm us, but because of His love and compassion, He will care for us. And so what do we pray for? Everything. Everything we need, spiritually and physically. Just as our Lord taught us to pray. And yet here too we must be careful. The question which we must ask is what do we need it for? What do we need it for? Do we need it to spend it on our own selfish ambitions? No, we're brought back right to the first commandment. What do we need everything spiritually and physically for? We need it to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, to honor and adore Him as the one true God. And there's this magnificent full circle that's found in prayer, that as we come before our God and recognize our most fundamental need, physically and spiritually, is to honor and to love the Lord our God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, as we implore Him for that. He shows us how to live in this life, in this day, in this place, with the resources He's provided for us to honor and adore Him. It's that prayer of Augustine. Lord, command what You will. Command what You want. And give what You command. Our greatest calling is to receive from God what we need to give to Him. Worship and adoration. And that's how we bow the knee in prayer. We pray so that God listens. With the ABCs, with an approach from the heart, with a baseness and a recognition of our undeserving character, and with a confidence that what we ask and what we desire is for Christ's sake. And then whatever we need for that, we come to our Father, who owns all things and provides all things, and we pray. We pray and ask. And He promises, I hear and I listen and I love You. What a privilege we have in prayer. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, how good it is to come before You in this sacred time of prayer with our hearts and our heads and our hands, and to approach You in faith and recognize our unworthiness, but also to come with confidence to Your throne of grace. And Heavenly Father, we can ask no greater thing than for You to teach us how to pray. You've shown that in Your Son. You've revealed it in Your Word. Help us to pray in a way that You will listen, because that glorifies and honors You. When it seems like it's such a mysterious operation and this is too sacred of a territory, Lord, we pray that You would help us to submit to Your Word, and to evaluate and reflect upon how we are approaching You in prayer. And so help us to pray to You, the one true God. And hear us and listen to us. And display Your love for us as You do listen. And we have this confidence through Jesus Christ. Hear us. In His name we pray. Amen.